Well, good afternoon to you. 306 here, News Talk 105.9 WMAL, where we're making sense of the news. Coming up, Andrew Kerr from the Free Beacons here at 3:30. 4:30, we talked to Congressman Lance Gooden from Texas. Henry Rogers is here. He's a reporter for the Daily Caller. That's at 5 o'clock. And then at 5:30, General Keith Kellogg stops by as we talk about this Chinese spacecraft that's hovering over America. It's a balloon. There's a Chinese balloon flying over the country, you know, just the latest act of Chinese surveillance. And you can join us today at 888-630-9625, 888-630-WMAL.
Position of the balloon classified?
Phil, right now, what we're not going to do is get into a hour-by-hour location of the balloon. Again, we're monitoring it closely. As I mentioned, right now, it's over the center of the continental United States. That's about as specific as I'm going to get.
But I understand my being convenient, but does the public not have a right to know if
the balloon is over? The public certainly has the ability to look up in the sky and see where the balloon is.
Yeah, there's that old government working on your behalf rhetoric. We're looking. Yeah, you can look up in the sky if you want to find this thing. We're not going to tell you anything else. It's classified? What is going on? It's a Pentagon spokesman, Brigadier General Patrick Ryder, who refuses to tell the public exactly where it is. Although Kansas City, they apparently saw it recently. It was over their city, Kansas City, Missouri, and they took a picture and posted it to the internet. So I guess that's what we'll have to rely on because the government's not much help. Meanwhile, let's talk about where it was. It was over Montana yesterday. A lot of concerns about it flying over Montana, in particular because the Chinese surveillance balloon could be staring at some very important military hardware. And now let's bring in a guest from Montana. Congressman Matt Rosendale joins us. Congressman, great to have you with us, sir. Congressman?
Are you there?
Hey, I'm here, Congressman. You hear me okay?
Yeah, there's that Chinese balloon blocking my communications with you, Vince.
Oh, yeah, well, it turns out so we've learned about at least one of its capabilities. What do you think of this balloon flying over your state and now, of course, broadly our country?
I'm disgusted at the report that General Ryder gave, telling the people of this nation that he is not going to give an hour-by-hour description of where this balloon is located. How dare he? We have been relegated to utilizing the National Weather Service, who is telling people where the balloon is located, Vince. And, yes, fortunately, it is off of the area above Montana where we do have 140 ICBMs located. He also gave in that report that as soon as they identified that the balloon was hovering over the state of Montana, they immediately secured sensitive information. Well, you tell me how you're immediately securing sensitive information, hiding somehow 140 ICBMs and an entire Air Force base that is charged with manning those facilities. It's unbelievable what they're doing.
Congressman Rosendale, correct me if I'm wrong. The administration is claiming that they can't shoot this thing down because there's just too many populated areas they need to be concerned about. When it was over Montana, are there populated areas everywhere in Montana you can't shoot down one balloon?
No, there are not. Now, I will tell you this. Maybe they couldn't shoot it down. Maybe the balloon itself, which I understand is about the size of three school buses put together, maybe it contained elements, gaseous elements that they didn't want spread all over the atmosphere. I don't know. So I won't say that they should just go up there and start firing rockets to bring the thing back to Earth, okay? But I do believe that we have the technology to bring it back to Earth, and I do believe that we have the obligation to do just that, and then take the equipment that's located on that balloon and reverse engineer it and find out what the heck they were collecting, how long they had been collecting it, where it was launched from, who is actually operating it, and you know, discover what's going on. Or let me throw this at you, Vince. Is this all literally a shiny object up in the sky to keep our attention diverted away from Ukraine, as the United States military now is poised to send additional tanks and aircraft and resources to Ukraine while everybody's over here looking?
Possibly so, but that would require a collaboration with China in order to pull off this stunt. The Chinese are taking credit for the balloon. They claim it's a civilian craft that lost its course because of westerly winds, and that it's carrying I love this. They claim it is mostly meteorological. What kind of phrase is that? If it's mostly meteorological, what's the rest of it?
Exactly. Again, I've got grave concerns about how long has it been flying over our country? Okay, we just found out about it a couple of days, Vince. When did it actually hit the coast of Washington and get into American airspace? Where was it? Where was it launched from? Where is it being directed from? Because we also know that once it did get over the state of Montana, that it sort of hovered there for a while. It didn't just go along with the air currents and end up in Kansas City. It hovered there for quite some time, and it was collecting some kind of data.
It sure seems like it. One of the frustrating components to this is, first of all, that the United States government seems to be letting it happen. It is letting it happen. Secondly, that it's allowing this Chinese surveillance balloon to finish its trip across the United States, that it's just going to keep going, apparently, and we're not going to do anything but wag our finger at the Chinese for this?
Again, I don't understand that. Why don't we bring this thing to Earth unless, you know, give us the plan. Are we going to wait until it clears the continental United States and gets out over the Atlantic and then try to shoot it out of the sky because it's easier and bring it back down? I think the American people should know what's going on. Look, I've reached out to the Adjutant General of the National Guard from Montana, the Commanding Officer of Mounts from Air Force Base, and the Pentagon. I've been screaming for a briefing to tell me what's going on with this thing. I understand that maybe it's not that easy to just give Matt Rosendale a briefing, okay, the congressman from Montana. However, at least give my delegation a briefing. Bring the two senators and the other congressmen together, and let's go ahead and have the Pentagon tell us in reality, in real time, what's going on, what do they know, and what is their plan to protect the United States of America.
One of your state's senators, Senator Steve Daines, has asked for a briefing, a full security briefing from the administration on this. That seems like it would be an important step to take. I can't help but think, though, that the Chinese are being given a very sweet deal, because if any American were to violate the rules of U.S. airspace, the American government cracks down on Americans aggressively. So if an American flies a small plane over Washington, D.C. airspace, we scramble jets and we bring that plane down to the ground. That's an American citizen who would do that. If you attempt to fly a drone in the nation's capital, the government is on you like that. They track drone traffic. And so now we're just allowing a Chinese surveillance craft to float across the United States and we're not taking it down?
I think we have established that this president is compromised specifically by the Chinese government, and it is very problematic. It's going to impact all transactions and decisions that involve the Chinese Communist Party, and is dangerous for our country. You're right. And how about this? How about if the United States had some type of an aircraft that had penetrated the Chinese airspace? Where do you think it would be right now? Do you think it would be making its way across the country?
No.
There is no way.
Chinese scientists would be rifling through the wreckage right now and taking all of the technology.
Yeah, I think there's a pretty simple phrase for that. Shoot first and ask questions later, right?
Yeah, yes.
We've got a phrase that we use out in Montana, too. I had some folks asking me, what do the people in Montana think about this? But I'll tell you, they believe in the three S's: shoot, shovel, and shut up. And then bury the shovel, too.
You know, it is interesting, though, that this has captivated our attention, certainly because of how novel this appears to be. But also, the reality is, like, the Chinese have been conducting surveillance operations in the United States for some time, from our academic institutions and certainly through social media software. TikTok, one of the biggest social media apps on the planet, is a Chinese surveillance tool. And yet they don't, none of those things receive anywhere near the attention we're getting for one balloon that's currently floating across the country. Do you think it's possible that this moment could be a wake-up call for Americans who didn't realize how pervasive this Chinese spying is?
I hope. Not only that, let's not forget the 5G network in Huawei, who was putting their their equipment throughout the nation so that they could access the, you know, communications that was taking place between everyone around the country. And we've got the rip and replace program taking place right now to make sure that we get all the Chinese Huawei equipment out. So I hope people do start understanding that the Chinese government, the Chinese Communist Party, is an absolute enemy of our country, and they choose to be and want to be the global power, not one of the global power, and they will use every tool, method, and concept at their access to make sure that they can accomplish that.
Yes, and they're testing us right now, and we're failing that test as we speak.
That's exactly right.
Congressman Rosendale from Montana, thank you very much. I appreciate you joining us on short notice with this breaking news. Really appreciate it, sir.
Always good to be on with you, Vince. Thanks for helping us spread the word.
Yes, sir. We'll talk to Congressman Rosendale soon as well. Great to have him today. Let's see here. I want to take some phone calls. I've got Sean calling in from Fredericksburg on line one. And again, the number is 888-630-9625. Hello, Sean.
Hey, what's up, Vince? How are you?
I'm doing good, sir. What do you got?
Good. Hey, I was just going to say, I was telling your caller, like 3 or 4 years ago, a friend of mine, we were in Fredericksburg, and we were flying a drone. I couldn't say how high it was, but within an hour, we had two county cops come up to us. They knew what we were doing, and months later, he told me he got a fine for $2,500 for flying this drone. Of course, now everybody knows years later, you know, you can't fly within a certain airspace or whatever, but I just think it's kind of odd that we're U.S. citizens flying in our own backyard. We get a $2,500 fine, but yet China can fly whatever they want over the United States, and everybody's supposed to be cool with it?
Yeah. In fact, you know, these drones, a lot of these drones are made, I believe, by DJI, which is the most popular drone maker, and they're made in China, right? It's a Chinese drone company.
Yeah.
And one of the features of again, I don't own one of these drones, but I understand that one of the features of this is it actually blocks out certain areas. So it tries to prevent you using GPS from flying in certain zones that you're not supposed to in the United States. So in other words, China is helping the United States government enforce no-fly zones here for drones that people want to use for civilian use. Yet China's flying a surveillance balloon, right? It soon will be over the Eastern Seaboard. It's just flying straight across the country right now, and the United States is doing nothing to stop it.
Well, and that's what's great. We have a county patrolman. They come within an hour of us taking off, and you have the U.S. government that can't even give an ETA and exactly where it is over the huge widespread of all the acres we have. I just find it kind of hard, and I think we're getting the short end of the stick of this one.
Yeah. They say, look up in the sky. That's the only information you're allowed to have. All right, Sean, thank you very much.
Unbelievable.
Let me take Jeff in. Yes, sir. Jeff's in Gaithersburg, line four. Jeff, good afternoon. You're on the Vince Colonnade Show.
Good afternoon, Vince. What struck me immediately when we're talking about it being over the center of the country is, as you just pointed out, it's going to be over the center of the Eastern Seaboard.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Which would be more or less Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And at 60,000 feet, long before it gets over us, they'll be able to start seeing all the doing a lot of surveillance pickup, because they'll be in line of sight from that height.
Yeah.
Probably when they're over west by God, Virginia, even.
Yeah, they'll keep coming this way, and they'll stare at us. You know what we should do? We should start selling commemorative sunglasses so we can stare at it like the solar eclipse. You know, Just get out there, really throw a big party as the Chinese government spies on America from coast to coast. It's amazing.
Hey, but
you're right, Jeff. You're
not
right.
Not cool.
Not cool. I would agree. That's a good way to summarize it. By the way, this whole balloon story reminds me. You remember back in 2009 when the country thought there was a 6-year-old boy trapped in a balloon floating over Colorado? You remember this? Here's MSNBC's deeply credulous coverage from back in 2009.
I'm going to ask all three of you to hang on just a minute because we have rather an incredible breaking news story that we're following right now. And this is coming to us out of Colorado. What you all see right there is an experimental aircraft that inside of which is a 6-year-old boy who got into that aircraft not that long ago and accidentally launched it. It's hard to believe, but it is absolutely true. It's coming to us.
What is a typical MSNBC report?
This is the balloon. It is coming to us from KUSA. The chopper is taking pictures, and I believe this balloon, again, experimental with a 6-year-old little boy whose parents have created this experimental balloon.
Anyway, it was all a scam. There was no boy inside the balloon. It was a big scam. But now we do actually have a Chinese surveillance balloon flying over the country. Let's take Keith from North Carolina now. He's on line 7. Keith, good afternoon. You're on the Vince Colanay Show.
Hey, thank you, Vince. I would like to know who was it that talked Biden into not shooting it down? Who's willing to put their name on that? Kind of like back in the Afghanistan debacle when Biden said that, oh, no, military recommended that I took the steps I took, and then when it came right down to it, everybody said, nah, wasn't me.
Right, everyone.
I think he didn't want to shoot it down because he's compromised and he's just lying, saying, I wanted to do it, but they talked me out of it. I want to know who talked him out of it.
Maybe the balloon is delivering a massive payment to Joe Biden, and if the last thing he wants to do is shoot it out of the air. No, this is a good question. Who told him not to shoot it down? Fox News reports that White House officials say Biden made the decision based on the strong recommendation from Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Mark Milley, and the commander of Northern Command, telling him, quote, not to take kinetic action at this time because of risk to safety and security of the people on the ground. Again, I was just talking to Congressman Rosendale from Montana. Have you ever looked at a photo of the United States at night, you know, where you can see the lights on the ground to know where the populated areas are? Montana doesn't have that many. There's plenty of spots where you could drop a balloon. But we didn't do that. We're just letting it float straight across the country. It's got a payment to deliver, after all. It's 3:29. Well, good afternoon to you. It is now 3:34 here on News Talk 105.9 WMAL, where we're making sense of the news. Coming up, we're going to be joined by Lance Gooden at 4:30, the congressman from Texas, to talk about the United Nations and why it needs to be defunded. He's got some thoughts on that. Henry Rogers joins us from the Daily Caller as we talk about crime in D.C., the way the city council's making things worse, and the way Congress could stop that. And then General Keith Kellogg joins us at 5:30 today. We'll get the latest with him on this Chinese balloon. You can join us today at 888-630-9625, 888-630-WMAL. Hunter Biden has taken a new tact this week. He's decided to start attacking all of the people who've been scrutinizing his business relationships and going through the files that once resided on his laptop before he abandoned all of it to a man named John Paul Mac Isaac, who ran a computer repair shop in Delaware. John Paul Mac Isaac was on the Tucker Carlson program last night and was talking about what it's like to be now sued and pursued by Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden is referring John Paul Mac Isaac to the Delaware State Attorney General for criminal prosecution. Is calling for that anyway, calling for criminal prosecution of John Paul Mac Isaac. Here is the computer repair shop owner explaining everything.
So here you really are the little guy in this case. You're literally a small business owner, and you're being threatened by the family that runs the country. How are you intimidated by this? You must be a little bit.
I'm a little bit, but You got to remember, Tucker, I've been dealing with intimidation from all fronts for the last couple of years, so I've kind of gotten used to it. This isn't as bad as being accused of being a traitor and working with Russia to affect an election, but it's pretty close.
There are a few people who have dug into this story quite as much as our next guest. Andrew Kerr is an investigative reporter for the Washington Free Beacon, and he joins us now. Andrew, great to have you back with us, sir.
Hey, thanks, Vince.
This is an interesting turn of events. All of a sudden, Hunter Biden and his team have a lot to say, don't they?
Yeah, they're kind of coming out guns blazing, demanding criminal investigations, both at the Delaware state level and to the DOJ, yep, for the repair shop owner, Rudy Giuliani, Steve Bannon, and a couple other individuals that were involved in kind of seeding out the laptop to or copies of the laptop to reporters at the early stages of this saga back in 2020.
Sure. And now it seems Hunter Biden, the claim Hunter Biden's lawyers seem to be making is that John Paul MacIsaac stole Hunter's laptop, yet simultaneously they're claiming we're not confirming that it was actually his laptop. Do I have that right?
Yeah, I mean, it's farcical. Like one of the best things that New York Post did on its first story when they broke this is that they produced a copy of a repair quote at the computer repair shop, dated April 12th, 2019, Hunter Biden's signature, authorizing John Paul MacIsaac to, quote, recover data to store server and contact customer when complete. And the footnotes of the signed document states that if you don't come and retrieve it within 90 days, it's treated as abandoned property and you can't hold us liable for, you know, any damage or loss of your property at that point. So this notion that John Paul MacIsaac stole Hunter Biden's data and did not grant his consent for John Paul MacIsaac to transfer his data and view his data, that, like, we've got the signed document. It's just, like, Hunter absolutely authorized that to happen. And then he didn't.
In other words, Hunter Biden, by virtue of signing that contract, he gave John Paul MacIsaac that laptop and all of its data.
Right. So I used to repair computers when I was in college, and we would do this all the time where you'd have a busted up computer and we would and customers would authorize us to transfer the data over to a store computer. And then we would from that server, put the data back onto something usable. That's just like standard things that happens at these repair shops, and that's exactly what the document shows. And now, as you said before, now they come out with this legal thread saying that you stole our data, you didn't have access to our client's data. But then they come out a few hours later and they say, oh, this is not us, making any sort of statement that, you know, admitting that this is Hunter Biden's laptop. So they're playing both sides of the ball here. It's just really bizarre. It does just seem like an intimidation tactic to kind of get into the heads of the folks that they're going after. But fortunately, it doesn't look like they're bound to that pressure.
Yeah. It also seems like the lawyers made a massive mistake in this first volley by admitting this was Hunter Biden's data. And they're now trying to, to take it back. And you can't do that. It's obvious. You've confirmed what we've all known for some time, and what you were a part of confirming, Andrew Kerr, in terms of your reporting. You were able to authenticate these emails are totally genuine, and they were Hunter Biden's emails. And this is something that you had established well before anybody else in the media had, almost.
Right, and I think it's most important to note that so Hunter's lawyers are still, to this day, suggesting that there could be data manipulation here, or people were inserting files into the laptop, bad actors, malicious actors trying to, plant evidence into the drive. I'm not aware of a single file, a single email, a single piece of document from the laptop that Hunter Biden's, that has been reported out, that Hunter Biden's team or Hunter Biden himself have come out and said, that's not real. I did not send that. That's not my document. He has not disputed the authenticity of one single document. So it's farcical that they're trying to insert this doubt into the media cycle that, there could be data manipulation going on here. If there's data manipulation, that's fine. Like, there are thousands, tens of thousands of files that you could point to that have been reported out, and you can claim that that's a fake file, but not one file. So yeah, it's just, it's just a joke, to be frank.
Yes.
Their strategy here.
Hunter Biden has spent what, like his career, if you can call it that, using his access to the United States government in order to enrich himself. And now, as a part of this this effort, his lawyers are sending letters to the United States Department of Justice and to a very Biden-friendly attorney general in Delaware, asking for criminal prosecution of Hunter Biden's enemies, the people he perceives to be his enemies. Here is Karine Jean-Pierre yesterday being asked by a reporter, wait a second, how are you saying that Biden is independent of the Justice Department when his son is begging them for prosecutions? Listen.
Counsel for Hunter Biden has written the National Security Division of the Justice Department. I know you like to keep that agency very arm's length. But is it arm's length when the president's son writes DOJ seeking an investigation?
I mean, look, I'm going to be pretty consistent, as I have been from this podium when it relates to that that particular question that you're asking me. We have been for the last 2 years, and I will say to you that that is something for Hunter Biden's personal representative, their representative, to speak to. I'm just not going to speak to it from here.
The White House knew about before it happened?
Again, I would... as far as that piece, I would refer you to the White House counsel.
Have you seen any evidence, Andrew Kerr, that the Justice Department has promised they will not allow any undue influence from the White House on these questions?
No, not that specifically. I mean, we don't know. They can say as much as they want, but that doesn't necessarily make it true. But yeah,
right.
It does. It's a legitimate thing to ask. Like, yeah, it's the president's son. Is demanding him to take legal action against or demanding your subordinates to take legal action. It's a worthwhile thing to question the president about, for sure.
Absolutely. And then if the Justice Department then ends up pursuing people who talked about what was on Hunter Biden's laptop, that'll be as transparent a political hit as you could possibly imagine coming out of this Justice Department.
Right.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say.
Feels
We're
that
all
way. With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Especially, you know, considering the fact that this is abandoned property, that, like, again, it all goes back to that signed contract that I spoke about earlier. Hunter Biden authorized this repair shop to take his computers, to transfer his data to their storage servers, and he signed a document saying if you don't come back within 90 days, it's abandoned property. So yeah, if they do actually take legal action against any of these folks, especially
yes.
the repair shop owner, I think it would be very egregious and definitely an abuse of power. At least it would certainly appear that way, given the relationships.
The attorneys who are working on this case for Hunter Biden are some of the most well-paid attorneys in the country. Do we know how Hunter and the Biden family are affording this?
No, that's kind of a mystery that I'm interested in trying to figure out. Hunter Biden, he's now an artist after becoming an international businessman. And political advisor. Now he's an artist, but his art sales aren't doing so well these days. So he had millions of dollars of back taxes. He took out a big loan from one of his lawyers to help pay back that bill last year. So yeah, how is he paying this these high class lawyers? I really don't know. Fox News had a really interesting report this morning that Joe Biden took out a $250,000 line of credit off of his Delaware beach home. Just back in December, what, 2 months ago, Joe Biden, he's a guy that he made $15 million in book royalties and speaking fees after he left the vice president's office. So, why does he need to take a $250,000 line of credit out from his home? Really don't know the answer to that. I don't have an answer as to how Hunter Biden is affording, these lawyers. And he also has this long running, attorney case in Arkansas with a woman that he had a child with. He's got to be racking up the bills here, and it's just not clear how he's paying them at this
there's
point.
Also, there's also a group of left-wing activists that have begun to encircle Hunter Biden in order to protect him. We saw that there is an effort by people, including David Brock of Media Matters fame, to dig up dirt on the lawmakers who are going to be investigating Hunter Biden. What do we know about these efforts that the left is undertaking?
Yeah, so that's David Brock. He's the Media Matters founder. So a few months ago, he left his Media Matters empire, and then he founded. I don't have the name of the group in front of me, but he's now on kind of a Biden defense organization, and they're kind of. It just seems like standard political games that are being played here. If they want to claim that that Hunter Biden's been the victim of planted files, fake manipulated information and stuff, then just come out and say it. Just like say that these files are these particular files are not legitimate, and they're not doing that. So now they're just kind of they're going after the Republican lawmakers, promising to investigate this. It just reeks of desperation and trying to obfuscate the story here.
Finally, I said it yesterday. I'd be tempted. I hope somebody maybe even takes up Hunter Biden on these lawsuit threats and says to him, "Go ahead, sue me. Let's take this to discovery, and then we'll really get to the bottom of these financial arrangements that you had with your father and the United States government."
Yeah, discovery would be certainly a fascinating process. Instead of sending letters, threatening civil lawsuits, maybe that's why they're going directly to the to both the state and federal level law enforcement authorities and just demanding an investigation. I can't help but think this isn't a serious effort. I think it's just more of a media ploy to try to get some positive media coverage for Hunter. Try to get a spin on things because it just again, this is abandoned property. Hunter Biden authorized the repair shop owner. Like I'd be shocked if, at this point, from what we know, if either the Delaware or Department of Justice goes after this.
Sure, and it's also designed to quiet scrutiny from the media to the extent that the press will take seriously any document that exists on that laptop. With Hunter Biden staking this claim, you're going to get a lot of legacy media outlets who are going to say, "No, there's no way I'm touching that story. We're just going to let that be." And that's the point.
And if that's the case, if that happens, then honestly, shame on them. Like, do your due diligence. Send them the files that you're going to be reporting, describe them, and give them the opportunity, Hunter, the opportunity to say, like, "No, this isn't real," or
right,
or "This is fake." And they're not doing that. So that really, that should be top of mind whenever we're looking at these legal threats from the Biden team.
Unquestionably. Andrew Kerr, as always, great reporter for the Washington Free Beacon. Thank you so much. Good to talk to you today, sir. I still love on the Ilhan Omar story. I still love that Rashida Tlaib says that the GOP only kicked her off the committee because she's hot. You're like, she said that? Yeah, you may have missed it. She said she's a black, beautiful Muslim woman, and the Republicans were opposed to that. They didn't like her because she was black. They didn't like her because she was beautiful. They didn't like her because she was Muslim. All of the above.
Desperation. So desperate to distract the American people from their total inability to govern. The GOP is now doing what it is best at. Weaponizing hate against a black, beautiful Muslim woman.
Yeah, you're just punishing her because she's a hot chick. Rashida Tlaib's point. What is her point exactly? I don't know if this really happened, but I suspect that Joy Behar hit her head this morning while she was getting ready to go to work at The View, because she sounded like she kind of made sense for a few seconds. I know it's hard to believe. Listen to her this morning. They're assessing Ilhan Omar and how Ilhan Omar claimed that she didn't know that saying that Jews have a lot of money is an anti-Semitic trope. And Joy Behar says she's not buying it.
She said that she did not know that what she said that was construed as anti-Semitic, she didn't know that that was what they call a Jewish trope. and that she didn't know that. That people equate money with Jews, for instance. I don't believe her.
Well, I do. I think she's an immigrant. I think she's had a different experience.
Sonny Hostin. Sonny Hostin will defend a pile of poop if it has a D after his name.
Experience.
Been here a
I
long
think that's,
time.
That's a trope that's largely you hear in this country. So I'm not surprised that she didn't know. And
that
I
is not a trope. Excuse me. Well, that is not a trope that is just here in this country. That is a worldwide trope.
Wow. Joy Behar using a Donald Trump tactic in that conversation. Excuse me. By the way, I highly recommend you attempt this with somebody in your life. If you're having a conversation, a debate, if you just throw down a tactical but aggressive, a firm excuse me in the middle of the conversation, it'll stop them in their tracks. Trump specialized at that. Joy Behar borrowing that technique today in order to tell Sonny that she's an idiot. The truth is they're both idiots, but again, I think Joy, I don't know what happened. She must have bumped her head coming into work today, and it paid off. Do that again tomorrow, or make that Monday. All right. Coming up, I've got Lance Gooden, the congressman, joining us in the next hour. We're going to talk about the United Nations and how it's not really doing us any good. So maybe we can stop paying into it. That'd be good.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Null. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.